You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JOC has closed its doors again for the day, and on the telephone now with the 5 o'clock shadow is Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital. Greg, I've got a bit misty-eyed today, I have to admit. And before we get onto the markets, I was watching the 75th anniversary of D-Day, the celebrations in Portsmouth in the United Kingdom. Mr. Trump was there, the Queen was there, Prince Charles and everything. And I had a look at these veterans that they were interviewing and that participated in the celebrations. They're all 90 plus now. There's only, I think, about 350 World War II survivors left in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
And they're so modest and they're so humble and they're so quiet and they're so dignified about what happened. They don't brag about what they did. They were 18 years old. And the theme that came across was that they went there knowing that they had to serve their country and they were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. Hundreds of thousands of them did. And I thought to myself, yeah. I wonder what they think about today's youth. And
yeah, this is,
can you imagine?
Millennials whose feelings get hurt very easily. Yeah, they think they're actually a day early because D-Day is, I think, it's tomorrow, the 6th of June, but I stand corrected. But I think Mr. Trump's leaving, so they probably did the celebration today.
Exactly. Well, the reason it was going to be on the 5th, but there was a massive storm, so they couldn't launch the boats and everything. So they delayed it one day. I've learned a lot today. And then I thought about something else as well, and that led me on to the ANC. I was talking about this to Wayne McCurry, which is another podcast you can see later on. I said to myself, I wonder what the ANC founding fathers thinks about the current ANC, because these people started something with a specific goal, and that was to deliver the people from oppression. And they eventually did it, but they suffered so many sacrifices, they made so many sacrifices and suffered so much privation with their actions. But they've delivered a whole generation and generations to come of the population from oppression. And I just think they must look down and say, what a mess that we've actually created there. They didn't create it, but the memory of their efforts has been completely besmirched by the current leadership. It's actually quite sad. Again, another sad interview.
I remember there was quite a famous quote by Steve Biko, or he was saying that, you know, you don't want to fight for freedom or for other people to abuse it and, you know, create wealth for themselves. I mean, this was obviously written years and years ago, long before anyone could have imagined the current South Africa that we are in. It did become a super wealthy country initially under Mandela, who, you know, he would just not believe what he's seeing around him. He was enlightened. He was super intelligent and had the right people around him making the right decisions. You know, things which, you know, with the reserve banks and things which he didn't know, he got the best and brightest to advise and steer the country in the right direction. And at the moment, we seem to have people in power who don't really understand economics.
They don't understand economics. They don't know how to spell, because they say quantity easing, which was an embarrassment yesterday. And honestly, why would they put that out? I mean, quantitative easing, as I've discussed with Wayne earlier on, it's not appropriate for South Africa. It's appropriate for the United States of America, but it's not going to work in a developing nation which is more or less in recession and has been in recession for quite a while, I think. But there's just been a few numbers that means it's out of recession, according to the statisticians. But it's not appropriate. There's other policies that need to be initiated in order to get us out of this. Anyway, let's talk about the markets now. Give us the indexes, please, Greg. Let's start with the backdrop.
Yes, I mean, it's a very interesting day, really. The banks up 0.20, financials up 0.46, industrials up 0.64. The retailers, a bit of a negative down there, down 0.61. Gold shares again up 4.4.
Wow.
Platinum's up 3.3. Resources up 1.55, which led the oil share up 1%, 573 points better. 57,073, so hit above 57 once again. Volume he had so far today of 18.32 billion.
Not bad. Yesterday was 26 billion, and that was in a bear market. And we've got lower volume in a bull market. And certain technical analysts will say, well, volume is very important. If there's big volume on the downside, that means the downside is to the fore. And if there's lower volume on the upside, that means that the bulls are in retreat, if you see what I mean. I don't know about that so much. But, okay, any features today? Most viewed shares, Steinhoff, Sibanye, EOH and Naspers. Nothing new there. Let's go straight to the top five and bottom five, according to shane.co.za. And really, Greg, this whole bull market in gold is really gathering a lot of momentum. Goldfields up 6.3%, Implats up 4.8%, Anglo Gold up 4.25%, Harmony up 3.8%. Terrific stuff.
That really, really is at a gallop, this gold and platinum bull market, which we keep talking about, but it keeps on surprising even old grizzled veterans like ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
We're amazed at these performances. You just forget how incredible this thing is. Anglo Gold has come from around 170, you know, probably 10 to 15 days ago, 217, 20, and it doesn't look like anything stopping it. I'm watching the gold price trade right now in New York. I'm still up for the day, 1328, but we have seen higher levels.
It was 1340 earlier on, actually, and it's come back quite sharply. But, you know, that's the nature of a gold bull market. It gives you these euphoric moments and then suddenly dashes your hopes and then comes back again the next day when it's in the mood. And I think it's in the mood.
Feels like it's got a feel about it. And there's nothing more exciting than trading these gold shares. And what makes it so fun is very often if you miss out on one opportunity, they give you another opportunity. I mean, well, just for illustration, I'll give you the movement in Sibanye today. Open up, it went as high as 15 Rand 20, but by mid-afternoon or around about lunchtime, back at 14:30, where you could have got in again. Then it rapidly traveled back to 15. That's normally when the U.S. markets open. They're the ones who are more active in the gold market. And so that you have that lull during the day here on the JSE, which often gives a buying opportunity. It closed at 14.81, so it's not on the up list, only up 1.4%. But if you want to get on that list these days, you have to be 3.5% higher.
Go to strictlybusinesspodcast.com or to sharenet.co.za. On the right-hand side of the screen, Greg, you'll find something called the Asset Class with a gentleman by the name of Peter Schiff, who's the CEO of Euro-Pacific Capital and also the chairman of Schiff Gold. He talks enthusiastically about gold and all sorts of other things, but also someone slightly more moderate than that, Philip Saunders from Investec Asset Management in London, is talking to me about what I call the last hurrah for the US stock market. And he tends to agree with me, but also he's been talking about gold for quite a while. Investec Asset Management in London has been a supporter of gold for quite a while, so they're very, very happy. So here are his comments on gold as well. So two different ends of the spectrum. Yeah. So two really good podcasts there coming up. Are you putting your clients into it?
Well, what you generally find with the gold share clients is they know what they're doing. You don't have to advise them. But you're right. It's big institutional clients that you haven't seen active in the gold market. Suddenly we're getting those calls looking for lines of gold shares. So there has been a lot more interest for sure.
Okay, on the downside, you tend to get a little bit bored with other stocks when the gold shares are running. But anyway, Massmart. Goodness, this has been a horrible, horrible month or the last few weeks for Massmart, ever since the CEO resigned and the results came out. 4.2% down. Aspen down 2.9%, still above 100 though. ShopRite, again, down 2.75% after a bad performance yesterday. Dis-Chem, 24.25, I'm sorry, this is a bear market.
It had a one-day bull market, which lasted until lunchtime today, back below 25, and that's a crucial level there.
Yeah, you can drop a cat off the Empire State Building and it may bounce once, but it doesn't mean it's not dead. Dis-Chem down 2%, Pick and Pay down 1.8%, Greg. Also, Pick and Pay wasn't so good yesterday, I think down 2.75%, or was it the day before? I can't remember. But there's some stuff going on. It's quite exciting in a perverse sort of way.
Yes, I think probably a bumping up in the petrol price and probably the outlook for the retail stocks not so good. I think Massmart was something flashing across my screen that was downgraded by one of the big US banks that look at South African stocks.
Oh, yeah.
Has been such a difficult thing to get a handle on there. Yesterday it looked as all the world was going back to 110. It ran out of steam, 101.30. It is a very rumor-driven counter. I like to call it the Durban Telegraph. Often you get suddenly getting a lot of orders from the Durban base. You know, something's cooking at Aspen.
Dollar Rand 14.85 was 14.89, and that was the recent low for the Rand. So backing off at that very, very short term technical top level, but it's going to break through. Unfortunately, the British pound against the Rand is 1888. Why can I never distinguish between an 18 and a 16? The euro.
Glasses. You need new glasses.
I'm going to put them on. They're very good. They cost me 6,000 Rand 5 years ago. Let me put them on right now. Here we go. Oh, that's much better. I can see things clearly now. The rain has gone. 1671, the euro rand, and the euro dollar is 112.52, barely changed on the day. Let's have a look at that gold price now. Was 1340, as I said earlier on. It's still up on the day by $3, but has pulled back. Hopefully it can consolidate here. 1329, the dollar price of gold at the moment. The platinum price is down 9 to 811, and the palladium price is 1324, down 17. A trader's dream, that palladium. All over the place. Brent crude oil, $61.44. Greg, this is $13.50 below where it was 3 weeks ago. It looks like a bear market to me, I'm sorry. Down 1.75%.
I think so. And I mean, if you were looking around for things which can save South Africa, a collapsing dollar price of oil would be one, the top of my shopping list or my wish list if I could have them to try and sort of steer the ship away from the icebergs here. But if oil can sort of drop back into the 40s or 50s, it will certainly take some pressure off the local economy.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the implications of it dropping to that level are manifold, and therefore that might actually equalize it'll outweigh the benefits of a lower oil price. Because if it goes down there, that means the US economy and the world economy is in retreat. Dow Jones Industrials, Greg, I've got 138 up with my delayed screen. What have you got?
Yeah, you're right in there. It's 148 points up at the moment. See, the FTSE's down about 3 points. Let me take a look at the NASDAQ, up about 24 points. So there's fears on those tick counters of it's all gone to the back pages now.
Yeah. Last week you were fearing coming into work. You weren't looking forward to it. It was a bit of a drudgery for you. But you've got to admit, it's getting a little bit more exciting now.
Yes, yeah. There's lots and lots of things to look at. It's not just boring political stories. Lots of news flow internationally. The currency looks, the rand looks the most interesting. I think, you know, this side of 40, we're trading 1486 right now, but 1465 to 85 is a big area. I wouldn't like to see it settling above 1485 because that, you know, that means probably 15 or 1520s in sight. And that's just a barometer of what international investors think of the outlook for South Africa. So we're watching that one closely.
In the absence of football, we always have the JSE and the overseas stock markets. Greg Davies, thank you very much for your time. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.